Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Saturday morning, October the 1st, 2022. Welcome to another month of the disastrous, destructive, demoralizing Joe Biden presidency. Today marks a new month, and it marks another month that Joe Biden has been destroying America. 21 calendar months now since the groper-in-chief stopped sniffing little girls' hair and started running the nation into the ground. That is reality, my friends. Inflation remains at 40-year highs. We are firmly in the grips of recession. Two straight quarters, half of a year and then some, of negative gross domestic product or GDP growth. That is the classic textbook definition of a recession. But because Joe Biden never takes the blame for the bad that he's brought upon our country, the Democratic Party has decided that, maybe that's an outdated definition. After all, in the 1920s, gay meant happy and frolicking. But in this 2020s, it means homosexual, fudge packing, and all that other crap. Sorry to be blunt and crude on a Saturday morning, and I'm sorry if you just spit your coffee out on the dashboard, but it's fact. The Democratic Party chooses to redefine words so that they can have an excuse, a reason, a justification for the disaster that they are wreaking upon our country. Definition of recession has always been two consecutive quarters, meaning 2 3-month periods of time in a row, where the GDP, the gross domestic product of a nation, has fallen into the negative category. But let's forget about those figures. Joe Biden says, we're not really in a recession, but we are. And then to follow that up, we also have what's going on right now with our supply chain. It hasn't recovered. I thought Joe Biden was going to fix everything. All he's done is screw everything up more and more and more. So we have inflation, 41-year high. We have recession, two or more consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. We have extraordinarily high interest rates as compared to just 2 years ago when the evil orange man was the president. We have artificially low unemployment because the Democratic Party, Joe Biden, Kamala Joe Harris, made it out of vogue, out of fashion to work, to contribute. They have created an entire entitlement mentality in the young working age people in our country. And then to make matters worse, they encourage people, don't go get a job, go to college, and we'll forgive your college loans. We'll make the stupid people who didn't go to college, the people who work for a living, the people who pay taxes, we'll make them pay for your college loans. And we'll do it in the form of forgiveness. And we'll claim that it's being done because of a pandemic that the president said is over. The double standard, that double-edged sword in which we will die as a nation, is being brought about by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nazi Nancy Pelosi, Charles Schumer, and other Democratic Party so-called leaders. Joe Biden promised to shut down the virus, not shut down the economy. The stock market will tell you that right now, the Dow Jones Industrial, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ are all at or below the levels that they were at when Donald Trump left office. And they said Donald Trump was such a horrible president for the stock market. The stock market went down just before Donald Trump took office because he was forced to preside over a presidency with the Wuhan, China novel, never before seen
brand new, laboratory invented, intentionally or accidentally released China virus. People were having to leave their jobs. Schools were being forced to close because we did not, since the virus was brand new when Donald Trump was in office, never before seen, novel, we started locking down schools as a safety precaution. And then when the science came out and said, hey, the kids aren't getting this virus. Children are not. Teenagers are not. Young adults are not. And many of our teachers are young adults. But the teachers' union, ever dying for a way to pay their union members to not work, decided we ain't going to go back and open that school until the virus gone. We ain't going to open the school. We going to make these children stay home, but we going to still make sure our teacher gets paid. They still going to get paid. They shut down the schools for almost 2 full years. And testing scores in reading and math amongst 9-year-olds, which for some reason seems to be the group that we always test, went down for the first time ever in math, and went down for like 30-year lows in reading, reading comprehension, spelling, language arts. This is what the Democrats, this is what Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, people like that, this is what they did to the United States of America. They did nothing for the United States of America. It's funny, when the stock market was climbing to record highs, near record highs, for some strange reason, Joe Biden was on the TV touting how good he was for the economy. We have strong economic indicators, stock market's highest level ever. Way higher than the guy before me, previous administration didn't get this high. Look at what we've done. And now that the stock market is back to the lowest point it's been since Donald Trump was president, crickets are chirping in the White House. And that's just the noises inside Joe Biden's empty mind. As crickets are chirping, the stock market is plummeting. And what does Joe Biden say? And what does the little black gay girl on the White House podium say?
The stock market is not an indicator of the full economy. We shouldn't just be looking at the stock market, folks. We have strong unemployment numbers.
We really don't. What was it? 28 million people were adversely affected in their employment during the height of the Wuhan, China novel coronavirus. Companies were laying off people by the tens of thousands at a time. People weren't buying anything because they couldn't get out of their house to go and buy anything. The Democratic Party chose to shut down selective businesses. We'll shut down restaurants. We won't shut down the bars. How silly was that? We'll shut down mom and pop shops, but we're going to leave Walmart open. Where's the logic? I would love to have been a fly on the wall in the early days of the Biden administration when he was still running around the White House saying, I'm a U.S. Senator. I'm a U.S. Senator, been a U.S. Senator 47 years. You're the president. Who's the president? You are. I'm the president? I thought Barack was the president. What about that guy with the hair? That Trump fella. I don't like him. Mr. President, you're the president. Here's what we're going to do, Mr. President. Okay, whatever you say. Let's do it. We could be like a Nike Swish. We'll just do it.
While Joe Biden destroys the economy, and don't say he's not, the stock market, the inflation, the recession, the fact that after 24 million Americans lost their jobs during the pandemic, and 11 million have managed to find their way back to jobs that they had before, Joe Biden claims they're creating new jobs. They're backfilling the jobs that were lost due to the pandemic and the draconian Democratic Party lockdowns. We're still 14 million job openings right now that will not be filled because, quite simply and in reality,
Joe Biden's economy cannot support those jobs. And those people got used to the government checks every month, the so-called stimulus checks. And now they're looking forward to, those who have college loans, getting a $10,000 to $20,000 bonus from Joe Biden and the Democrats in the form of student debt relief, is what they're calling it. But it's really fulfilling Barack Hussein Obama's dream of spreading the wealth around. You can't forgive someone's student loan debt, meaning money went to that college. The people who loaned the money to those students are expecting their money. They made a loan. Some student out there made a conscious adult decision to borrow money. I'll say that again for those who can't understand simple English. Those people who have the student loan debt are people over the age of 18, adults, consenting adults, who made a conscious decision to borrow money with the intention of paying that money back and with the contractual obligation to pay that money back. And now, because Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are desperately seeking votes in the midterm elections so that they can try to hang on to their majorities in the House and Senate, and because Joe Biden wants to make sure everybody loves Joe Biden, they're pandering, they're bribing people by giving them loan forgiveness for which they have no constitutional authority to do. And they're doing it in the name of the COVID pandemic crisis, the emergency that Joe Biden himself said not once but twice to a national audience on 60 Minutes. He told Scott Pelley, the pandemic is over. Yeah, we still got some issues, but the pandemic is over. Well, if that health emergency, the China virus pandemic, is indeed over, then tell me, why do we need to forgive student loans under the guise of the pandemic crisis? It's over. You said it's over. Of course, you also said that no president who is the president when 220,000 Americans die of a pandemic virus should remain in power. And yet you, Joe Biden, A, probably don't remember saying that, and B, much more importantly, refuse to resign when you yourself have now presided over 1 million COVID deaths on your watch. How come CNN, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CBS, HLN, Fox News, Newsmax, One America News, and any of the other news organizations out there, why have they not been pushing the fact, the reality, that if Donald Trump presided over 220,000 COVID deaths, and he should resign, according to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden has now presided over 1 million COVID deaths, nearly five times as many, why hasn't Joe Biden resigned? Where are the calls for him to step down? The news media, the Democratic Party, are scared to death that Donald Trump is going to make another run at the White House. They have tried everything but murdering Donald Trump. They've tried it all. They've tried lying and smearing him about hookers peeing on beds in a hotel room. They made up phony dossiers, false intelligence reports, submitted those to a FISA court, got raids organized from the FBI and every other law enforcement agency in the country to go after Donald Trump. They tried twice, unsuccessfully, of course, to impeach Donald Trump. They've tried indicting him for this, for that, the other thing, usually with zero evidence or manufactured evidence. They spent 8.5 hours at Mar-a-Lago with 31 agents combing through his house to come up with 15 boxes of documents that they don't even know if they're classified or not. Did anyone ever raid Barack Hussein Obama's house? Of course not. The Democratic Party lives by a separate set of rules. And following in the Hillary Clinton, the rules don't apply to me fashion, the Democratic Party, all of them, including Gropey Joe Biden, Camel Toe Harris, Chuckles, Nancy, the whole bit, they all have the same attitude. The rules do not apply to me. Rules for thee, not for me. They feel as if they are indeed above the law. And we never hold them accountable. Ever. But if Donald Trump spits out a piece of bubblegum on a sidewalk, they are on him like stink on crap, like white on rice.
I bet Steve, that's racist.
Hey, speaking of racist, everything is racist. I don't have the theme song here in the truck to play, but you've heard everything is racist. Okay, let's talk about the racist United States of America, where yesterday I took an equity, diversity, and inclusiveness class. Sorry, guys, having a little trouble with the old tongue this morning. Equity, diversiveness, and diversity and inclusiveness. Let me try that one more time. Equity, diversity, and inclusiveness. I took that class online yesterday. It was a requirement, continuing education and all. Did you know saying, "Hey, long time no see," to a friend is racist? Did you know that it is offensive to some people for you to say, "Hey, come take a look at this"? What? Yeah, I never would have thought it possible. But in this equity, diversity, and inclusiveness class that I took yesterday, long time no see refers to the broken English that was allegedly used to communicate with Indians, feathers, not dots, the Native Americans, who now are offended by being called Indians, supposedly, and offended by being called Native Americans because they claim it wasn't America when they lived here. It was just the land, Mother Earth. It didn't become America until Amerigo Vespucci came here and the land was named for him. Till Christopher Columbus came and brought all of those Europeans over who needlessly and senselessly slaughtered the Indians. Feathers, not dots. There were wars, W-A-R-S. There were wars in this land known as the United States of America. Far superior military forces from England, from France, from Spain, all different countries, of course, came to this land. They went to war with inferior troops, the Native Americans, the Indians, feathers, not dots. They defeated those Indians in war, and the spoils of war always go to the victor. I'm not trying to be mean here, but the Indians, feathers, not dots, the Native Americans, should be thankful that they weren't all completely and totally slaughtered, wiped out, obliterated from planet Earth. Those French, those Spanish, those English troops could have wiped those Indians out completely, taking with them all vestiges of the Indian cultures. Just like the Democrats want to do to the Confederate peoples in the South. See, there's a double standard. It involves Democrats again and groups to whom they pander. They, of course, want to pander to the Native American crowd to say, if the Republicans were in power, you'd have all been slaughtered. You'd have all been cast by the wayside, murdered. At least we gave you, the Democrats gave you, place to live, reservation, communities of your own, allowing you to maintain the sovereignty of your tribal culture. truth, it was the Republicans who allowed that, not the Democrats. But if you say the lie enough, the Democrats believe, people will start to believe it. And that's reality. Now, why did I bring up the Indians, the ones with the feathers, not the dot, and compare them to the Confederates, the rebels, the South? Well, because right now, if you dare display the Confederate flag, you are automatically labeled racist, bigot, indecent human being, Trumper, MAGA, whatever other dirty word they want to call you. And they will tell you that the reason that you should never display a rebel flag is because the South lost. The Confederacy lost. And every single image, vestige, reference to the Confederacy should be wiped away, relegated to the ash heap of history. The losers. There should be no cannons on Southern lawns or piles of cannonballs. There should be no Confederate flags. There should be no South shall rise again signs. That's racist. It's bigoted. The South lost. The rebels lost. The Confederacy lost. Right? Well, if that's the case, then why do we still have Choctaw nations, Iroquois nations, Homa's Indians, and all of the others? Why do they get to keep areas of this land that they were rightfully displaced from by war? The spoils of war go to the victors. Why is there such a double standard? Why do you think, for some strange, ungodly reason, that those Native American Indians, feathers, not dots, should get to keep their tribal identity, their national sovereignty, any land whatsoever? I mean, after all, we can't say that Birmingham, Alabama, is still a Confederate sovereign state, sovereign land, sovereign city. We can't say that Atlanta is a sovereign state, sovereign city, sovereign land, and that the Confederacy is somehow our version of an Indian tribe. It's a double standard. And it plays to the Democrats' favor, as it always does. Because if it did not play to the Democrats' favor, my loyal Truth Hurts program listeners, the simple truth is, there would be zero allowance for Indians to remain in our country. If it played in the Republicans' favor, it certainly would not be allowed that any. If it played to the Republicans' favor, there would be no reference to any Republican-favored ideology. Man, I can't talk today. No Republican ideology would be allowed. It would be considered racist, bigoted, and evil if the Republicans were pro-Indian, pro-Native American. Sorry, folks, got a little traffic there, got a little tongue-twisted, tongue-tied. But the notion remains the double standard. Rules for thee and not for me. That's the way it is. It's the way it will always be in Democrat land. And even when the Republicans take control, the Democrats line up to castigate, to demonize, to vilify the Republicans, to make damn sure that you know in your heart, in your soul, in the fiber of your being, that having anything whatsoever to do with a Republican will make you a bad person. Even when the will of the American people put another Republican president in power, Republican Congress in power, the demons in the Democratic Party and the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke news media, well, they will simply stand up and say, you, affiliated with Republicans, are inherently evil, racist, homophobic, and bigoted, and they will try to shame you into feeling otherwise.
And speaking of rules for thee and not for me, Mayor LaToya the Destroyer, LaToilette Cantrell of New Orleans, the Democrat African-American mayor, well, she has some issues. She has some issues. Not only did she not pay her taxes, and we all know that to be a fact, Ms. Cantrell is embattled for not paying her back taxes. While she was running for mayor, she was a council person on the city council of the city of New Orleans, and she used her city-owned credit card to throw parties from which she benefited, to buy turkeys and sneakers and basketballs for the youth in certain groups that she was a member of. She never paid those funds back, never did. She got elected mayor, not once. But the idiot people in the city of New Orleans, of course, a 65% hyphenated minority city, elected this dumb woman twice. She can't be that dumb though, right? Last week I told you about Mayor LaToilette Cantrell thinking she was better than every other city employee in the city because she breaks the rules of flying coach on official business. Every person in the city of New Orleans signs an agreement when they go to work for the city of New Orleans. She actually had the nerve to tell a lie and then backtrack the lie with another lie, and then backtrack that lie with yet another lie. At first, she said the reason she chose to fly to Switzerland and to France, first-class business accommodations on the flight, which cost the city of New Orleans an additional $30,000+. Her original reason was because I'm the mayor of New Orleans, and I'm going to sign a sister city agreement with some place in Switzerland and some little tiny town in France to promote tourism in my city where crime is rampant. And I need to feel safe and secure, and it is my security that I am concerned with. That is why I sit in first class. But of course, her security detail, those two security guards, had to sit in the back of the plane. Then she said, well, it's because I'm an African-American woman. And as an African-American woman, you don't know the struggles of an African-American woman. That's why I sit in first class. Because I deserve it as an African-American woman. But then it was noted that there were multiple African-American women on the same flight. And they were sitting in coach. Suddenly now her excuse is because she has anxiety issues. And that's why she needs to sit up in first class. Either way, her own city attorney, one who serves at her behest, has ruled that she needs to pay back the money. She says she's not doing it. So the city council voted that they're going to dock her pay for the remainder of her time in office until they get their $30,000 back. Good for you, City Council of New Orleans. But of course, the woman leading the charge and the councilman at large right below her are both white. So their decision to dock the mayor's pay is racist. And half of the African-American New Orleans population is calling them out as racist because they dare to say they're going to take money away from the black woman. And the latest controversy involving LaToilette Cantrell is quite humorous. The city, for some reason, owns or leases long-term a very luxury, expensive apartment, a $2,900 a month apartment, overlooking Jackson Square and the historic St. Louis Cathedral. She's been staying there most nights. And they say it's because she can't get a man. I don't know what that means. But anyway, she's justifying staying there, saying that many other former mayors have done that. Interviews with four former mayors say, no, they haven't. Rules for thee, not for me, the Democratic Party. I would say shining, but they're not shining at all. They're showing their true colors. That's all the time I have for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Make it a great day. We'll see you next time.